Hey, welcome to my show, Feng Shui Your Way on UK Health Radio. I'm Janine Lo, your go-to Feng Shui consultant and Chinese astrologer. I've been helping people transform their lives for over 20 years, from private clients to big names and businesses, and I can't wait to share my tips and stories with you. Today, we're talking about something we all live with every single day, but often don't realise the impact it is having on our lives, our homes. Have you ever walked into a room and instantly felt drained, unsettled, or uncomfortable? Or perhaps you've wondered why certain areas of your life seem stuck, no matter how hard you try to move forward. Joining me today is award-winning interiors therapy expert, Feng Shui consultant, author, and international speaker, Suzanne Roynan. Suzanne helps people understand how their positions, clutter, and living spaces can influence everything from relationships and health to wealth, success, and happiness. We're going to be talking about why clutter is so much more than just stuff, how our homes can support or sabotage us, and some simple changes you can make today to create a happier and more harmonious environment. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Janine. It's lovely to be here.
So, for listeners who haven't come across your work before, what exactly is interior therapy?
So interior therapy takes the aspects of feng shui, decluttering, life coaching, and a little bit of a zing of intuition. And it helps you to understand what's going on around you. You know, we're not just one thing. We're body, mind, soul, and home. And your home is the foundation of everything you do. So if you're coming home to a space that nurtures and supports you, fantastic. You have got the foundation for everything else in your life. But if you are coming home to somewhere that you don't feel comfortable, there are dark areas, places that you don't choose to sit or want to go into, then your home is working against you. So interiors therapy takes all of those aspects and puts them all together in quite a potent and dynamic bundle so that we can get everybody back on track with where they want to be.
So that's interesting. And we're both Feng Shui consultants, and we both agree before we start this conversation, whenever we go on a show, everyone says, what is Feng Shui? So we're not going to tell you what Feng Shui is, but actually I'll tell you, Feng Shui means wind and water, but we both are use flying stars, which is not unusual, but I think is the most accurate in my world that you can use. What's your thought on that?
Oh, I think it's beyond accurate. And, you know, I'm always talk about this particular lady because flying stars will tell us what can happen in a particular part of your home, the energy of that home, and how it might manifest in your life. So if I'm seeing somebody's chart and it says there, high risk of problems with the mouth, dental problems, I am getting on a message, I'm on WhatsApp to that client, wherever they are, and saying, right, have you had problems with your dentistry? And the lady I'm thinking of is in Northern New York State. Right. And she came back to me instantly and she said, Suzanne, since we moved in here, we have both lost 6 teeth.
Yeah.
And it's just like, yep, okay, I'm on the right track with you here. And so as a result, not only did they remedy the space, which was their southeast, so it was what we would call their wealth and blessings area.
Yeah.
But you had this really nasty little energy that was causing them problems with their mouth. So we remedied the area, but then also encouraged them to move their chairs over, being America, very big room, just over into the next guar, which was a lot more supportive. So in the mornings, they had their coffee in the south instead of sitting in the southeast. And they're much better now.
Yeah, it's funny because with the, just so our listeners know, there's 9 areas in your house, a grid of 3 and another 3, 9 things. And different areas of your house actually have the flying stars that go, and they change daily. They change yearly. They can change secondly. But for us as Feng Shui consultants, we tend to look when the questions are asked, or we work out when we, obviously when we go into our first, we look at the house to begin with. We look at the flying stars of the house from the date it was built. Do you do that one?
I work always on the date it was built. And also if there have been any massive remodelings, because, you know, if a home's been extended and you've got a huge extension on the back, or you've taken the roof off, that is going to change the energy of the home. I do monitor it. I'll check both ways just to see if the energy has changed. But yeah, I think normally I would go from basically the point at which a roof is added to a home that contains the energy within. And that's my starting point for working with a person. And then, as I say, if it's had a big extension or just, you know, a roof change, then we will look at the new year to see whether the energy has changed and work to that. But it's like you, Janine, you check, you double check, and then you triple check. If it doesn't feel right, you go looking for why.
Yeah. And obviously, Suzanne, you're an intuitive as well. I mean, is that for me as an intuitive, that's why I started Feng Shui, so I could hide behind it, because people didn't understand intuition when I was younger. They were like, she's a witch, you know, all this sort of thing. But do you find your intuition comes in quite quickly when you're working with people's houses?
If I'm in them straight away. But the majority of my initial consultations, because I do a 30 minute video walk around of a home for a couple of reasons. Number one, to make sure it's ready for feng shui. And number two, to see if there's anything obvious that is definitely causing problems for them or potentially causing problems for them. And just occasionally when I'm looking around a house, it's like a little light comes on above something that's wrong. It might be a picture. It might be a mirror. It could even be a cushion, you know, something is not quite gelling. Do I hide that behind? I suppose I just got on and used my intuition for myself initially. Yeah. And, you know, that might, did it the other day. You know, I got to the end of the road where I can go up to the motorway or down and along the bottom road. And the intuition said, go along the bottom road. And I went to the motorway and I sat in traffic for a half an hour. You know, it's just like, if it tells you something, go with the flow. Now, we've all got that. We have absolutely all got that little inner voice that says, maybe don't get this bus, but, you know, wait for the next one. Or that's not the thing that you want to buy right now.
Yeah.
I've just learned mostly, with the exception of the other day, to follow that intuition. And it's always been there, I think, because my grandmother always used hers. My mother occasionally uses hers. You know, I'm not afraid to use it, but I tend not to tell people who are outside the sphere of the more woo side of my business.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. When I feng shui a house, ultimately, I'm going in to feng shui the house, and I use all the metaphysics for that. And intuition is a different thing. Like me, my grandmas wrote me up, so basically, that, you know, they were all woo. Anyway, back to the thing. Many people think clutter is simply untidiness. Why do you believe it has a deeper impact than that?
Oh my goodness! Isn't clutter just a thing? So clutter, and it's, well, let's go back to the very, very etymology of the word. Clutter means it's a variation on clot. So we know what a blood clot does in the body, don't we? It causes a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. It basically stops the flow of energy through the body.
Yeah.
That's precisely what clutter does in a house. It stops that really important flow of energy moving through gently, as you said at the beginning, harmoniously, to reach every part of a home, to contact, connect into all of those nine areas in the feng shui grid. As you said, it's, if you look at it, it's like a noughts and crosses board.
Yeah,
really. If you overlay a noughts and crosses board on your house, that's where your areas are. It's very, very straightforward to do. And so where you've got clutter in any of those areas, that is then going to impact back on your life. So let's think about what things people tend to be most interested in, especially right now. It's money, it's health, and then, of course, it's relationships. There are other aspects that we can work with. Of course we do. We're holistic in this. We work with all parts of life. But money, blessings, we talk about the southeast of the home. So if you go and look in your southeast, and what you've got is a pile of rubbish there, stuff that's waiting to go with the recycling, clothes that don't fit anymore or need repairs and you're never going to get around to them. If it's your bedroom, if you're using that area as your floor drobe, you know, this is going to impact your money.
Yeah,
it's as simple as that. It's a very, very simple and balanced equation. If you've got clutter in the space, there is no room for money.
Exactly.
Likewise, if you've got clutter in your health area, the center of your home, your health is going to be impacted.
Mm.
No question about it. How does that manifest? Well, let's think about what happens when your body gets clogged up. We've got the big old constipation word, haven't we? We've got weight gain. We've got problems with the veins, maybe varicose veins, maybe strokes, maybe all kinds of issues about not feeling able to move around. Those things are all associated with clutter in the centre of the home. An imbalanced home impacts whatever you're doing. Your southwest, clutter in your southwest, oh, look, your relationship stalled, or you're not getting the respect you deserve, or you don't feel worthy, because it's about your own relationship with yourself as much as it is with a significant other. So if you're feeling weighed down and squashed and not noticed and your self-esteem is on the floor, go looking for clutter in your southwest.
Yeah, it's simple, isn't it?
It's an easy equation. It really, really is. When I'm doing my walk arounds with people, I always encourage them to send me a floor plan round through so I can have a sneaky peek and look at their directions. And, you know, they'll walk me into the bedroom and say, oh, you know, my relationship has gone. My partner's left me. Everything's falling apart. And I'll look at it and it'll just be full of stuff. So, yeah, we start with the stuff. This is why we look around first, because you do not put feng shui into a house that's full of clutter for the simple reason that feng shui magnifies it all. So if you're just going to put feng shui into a load of rubbish, you're going to just get a whole lot more rubbish in your life.
Never thought of it that way. Anyway, we're just going to hand over to our sponsors after the break. Well, I was actually going to talk about your book, Work at Home, How Stuff Makes You Feel. And I probably will. I've just had one more question I wanted to ask you about clutter. So after the break, I will come back with Suzanne.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Hey, hey. So there was one question I was going to ask you. Why do people find it so difficult to let go of possessions, even when they know they no longer need them?
Oh, so many reasons. But I put them down to habit, fear, guilt, confusion. And the last one's really nasty because it's spite.
Oh.
So let's have a think about that habit. It's always been there, so I have to keep it. Then there's fear. Oh, if I let it go, I might need it again and I might not be able to get it. Now, all those bits of wood in the garage or that ginormous pile of rubber bands in the drawer, or all those screws and little knobbly bits that you picked up off the floor and you're not quite sure what they came off, but they must have come off something. So you're going to keep them forever just in case. You know, so that's fear. Guilt. Oh, well, this was given to me. It was given to me, so I must keep it, even if I don't like it. Now, this can go from, birthday presents to something you got as a wedding gift. You've been divorced 10 years, but that ugly vase is still on the fireplace because it came from the great aunt with the hairy mole, and you cannot bring yourself to part with it because her ghost might haunt you. So...
You're so
confusion is about, well, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know how to get rid of it. Do I sell it? Do I donate it? Do I have to take it to the tip? Oh, I don't have a car, so I can't take it to the tip. I'm not going to pay for a taxi. So, it can just stay there.
I know. And, you know, it's really funny. As a feng shui consultant, my first marriage, I got given a decanter, right? Never used it. Have I got rid of it?
You've still got it.
I'm going to get rid of it now.
Oh, my God. You just got to go. It's holding on to your marriage in an item.
It's in the back of a cupboard, but I just can't. So, right, okay, this weekend it's going to be one of the things. And I didn't actually think about it, but because I think, right, I really go through things. I mean, I've got my grandma's fruit bowl, but fruit bowls...
That's different.
In the kitchen are very auspicious. So I'm like, yeah.
There's a major, major, major difference between something that you've been given by somebody that you love, like your grandmother's fruit bowl, for example, and a gift that you were given for your wedding that you've never liked, you've never used, but it is still anchoring you to the energy of that wedding, the person you were married to. Now, when I'm working with people, and this is more about the book, really, but when I'm working with people that are struggling to move on from a marriage, sometimes a decade after that marriage has gone and the ex-husband has, you know, he's got a new wife, several new children, and they're still sitting there surrounded by the energy of their marriage. They're sometimes sleeping in the same bed.
No, new relationship, new bed.
Now, the one category I didn't get to, when I think it's important, is spite. Because these are the things that we hold on to because we don't want somebody else to have them.
Mm.
Now, this is something that you will often find in divorce cases. You know, there's a particular thing that your ex really, really wants. And I'm thinking there's a chap I worked with a while ago, and there was this particular cabinet, and it was quite unique and it was quite valuable. But it had come from his ex-wife's family, and it was an heirloom item. And I'm working with him. There is no room for this thing in his house anyway.
Yeah. But
he is intent on keeping. Oh, I've got stuff in every drawer. I can't possibly get rid of it. And I said, well, you know, tell me about it. And he says, well, my wife wants it, but I'm not letting her have it because she cannot have this. It's here. This is my house. I'm keeping it. When we talk through what it was like to actually keep things for reasons of spite and how this was then preventing all of these new potential girlfriends that he would love to meet and marry and have children with, but he's got this nasty toxic energy sitting there in his sitting room, then finally he accepts that it's time for it to go. And to give him credit, he did pay for it to be taken to her new place, and things are a lot easier now for him. In fact, he's very, very happy indeed.
Brilliant.
But that spite is a nasty little reason to keep things. It also happens in families where we've got a sort of legacy or will situation. You know that that sibling you're not keen on wanted that particular ornament, memento of your loved one, so you're going to have it to stop them having it.
See, as a feng shui consultant, I'm learning things today. I've never thought of the spite value, and actually when I think about it, that's a really good one.
This is more the interiors therapy side of things than pure feng shui. Let's face it, pure feng shui is a science, and it is just so But what pure feng shui did when it was in its, you know, peak back in the how many thousands of years ago in the Far East, they didn't have shed loads of possessions. You know, anything they did have was treasured and revered.
Yeah.
But now we surround ourselves with so much rubbish, generational stuff, which just keeps going on and going on.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's worth thinking about.
So it's funny because people come to us, so you don't have a lot of clutter, but you do have a lot of cats, because I rescue cats, street cats. And I'm like, yeah, well, you have to keep everything clear. So I haven't got clutter, but it's interesting about the other things. So I was going to start this part of the part two with your book is called Welcome Home, How Stuff Makes or Breaks Your Relationship. So what inspired you to write it?
Oh, well, I've been using feng shui and then combining it with interiors therapy for rather more years than I care to mention. I mean, I've always said, well, it's 35 years. And then somebody pointed out to me it's actually 40. That was quite an unpleasant thing to think about. Anyhow, so my daughter has been brought up in a home that has feng shui, and I automatically use interiors therapy. And the more I learned about it, the more I implemented it. And she's very used to it, but she did not know how to do it. So do you remember those awful, awful months when we were running up to COVID? And it was just fear, doom, and destruction. Well, my daughter had gone off to America for Christmas. She's married to an American. And she was away. And at New Year, I got this really awful flu. So this is before it became fashionable.
Yeah.
You know, I got this terrible flu and I'm here on my own. And I thought, I'm going to die.
Mm.
Which was really, really scary. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't breathe properly. So I'm propped up in my bed. I'm so weak that I can barely crawl to the kitchen. So I got my laptop out and I just wrote notes on what she needed to know in order to use feng shui in her home and what to look out for with the interiors therapy. And I put little case studies in so that she could learn from what other people had done and had and then done about it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, 6 weeks later, she came back. I literally crawled out of bed, got to the airport, picked her up and went back to bed for another fortnight. And then at the end of that, I gave her this book and I said, look, just in case, this is what you need to know. And it was just a sheaf of papers. And she said to my mummy, this is a book. And we knew of a publisher, and the publisher took one look at it and said, this is a book. Thank you very much. I'm going to publish it for you. And it came out mid-COVID. So none of the fanfares and trumpeting and all of those things. But what it did do was go straight onto the bestseller list, because what people were doing was using that COVID time to really look at their homes and reflect, because they had that extra headspace, reflect on what they had around them, what was going on for them, and how life was mirroring art, because that's one of the things we talk about in the book. You know, if you've got it on the wall, it's probably happening in your house.
Yeah.
Oh. So, yeah. So so that's where we go into the interiors therapy a bit deeper. So that's why the book was written. It was a sort of a manual for my child.
Amazing.
Which became a love letter to the world, really.
Oh, I love that. A love letter to the world. It's funny you should say that, because obviously I've got one son and he was brought up on feng shui. Yeah. So when I went away a couple of times, he would have, you know, that party that they're not allowed to have.
Yeah.
And then he'd say, don't move anything in the house. You can come in, but don't move anything that looks random. Obviously, they did. So I knew that was it. But I think, you know, what you've done is, and I love how you've written that. That's really, really lovely. A love letter to, yeah, thanks, Frank. It's absolutely amazing. So let's get back into the question. And I know we've already answered this, but it's quite important that people often ask me as a feng shui consultant, so And it's, can clutter affect our finances, opportunities for abundance? So perhaps you could say what part of the house, or, you know, we know it affects them. And abundance is, as we all know, isn't just wealth.
No, abundance can be very many things. If you've got an apple tree in your garden, abundance can be so many apples that you don't actually know what to do with them. And this is why people, they do get hung up on, well, it's money. You know, I am going to activate my wealth area, the southeast. Take your smartphone compass, stand in the front of your house, look and see which direction southeast is. There's your clue.
Yeah.
I've cleared all my clutter and I've put my money pot there and I'm not any richer. Okay, well, first of all, let's get the feng shui in. It's not just about clearing your clutter. That's going to help massively. Let's find out what's going on in that area and then boost it with the feng shui, if it's positive energy, or neutralize any icky, sticky stuff.
Yeah.
Five areas of your home will have challenging energy. Feng shui will neutralize that, but the other four areas of your home are going to have pretty much positive energy and we can boost that. So it's all a very, very useful thing to do. But yeah, you've cleared your clutter, you've popped your money pot in there. Why isn't the money flowing into your bank account? Well, you know, let's have a walk around. Oh, your tomatoes are looking very good. Oh yeah, it's been a bumper year. Or, tell me when money's come to you. Oh, well, I was out for a walk and I found a £10 note. Okay, well, there's some evidence of abundance. You get more in tune with this. You can be out for a walk in the most distant places and money literally flies at you. It's incredible. It's, you know, when you're standing there and a £20 note just comes and hits you on the forehead, it's like, well, thank you very much for that. And there is not a soul in sight. But that £20 note has flown from goodness only knows where to you. But there are so many other ways. You know, perhaps somebody's given you something. I have a neighbour who used to, you know, I'd come home and there'd be a pile of courgettes. You know, all of this is evidence of abundance. Yeah. But if you only equate abundance with money, you're on a hiding to nothing. But the thing is, once you start having that gratitude for abundance in all of those areas, then, interestingly enough, the money starts flowing too. So
I'm going to just hold you there, but hold on to the word gratitude because it's one of my favourite ones. So we're just going to hand over to our sponsors. And when we get back, we will be carrying on with this very interesting conversation with Susanna.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Hey Hey, so we just left it when we were talked about gratitude, which is my favorite thing because obviously I'm a big manifester and gratitude is a very important part of manifesting. So what were you going to say about gratitude?
Well, just have it for everything.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. People might say to me, oh, I've got nothing to be grateful for. Yeah, my life's really rubbish. And I'll say, can you breathe? Well, yes. Well, be grateful for that. You know, is there tea in your kitchen? Yeah. Well, let's be grateful for that. Is the sun out? Yeah. Well, we can be grateful for that as well. No, it's raining. Well, let's be grateful. It's watering the grass, you know. And then the more you express that gratitude. Now, I'm a big fan of gratitude. In fact, I even did some gratitude books and stuck them up on the internet so that people could download them. Just as the prompts, you know, 3 things or 10 things or whatever you're grateful for. And you want to send love to people as well. I think that's really, really important. But this isn't sending love to the kids or anything like that. It's the people that you know who need help in some way or you're troubled by. So if, for example, you know that one of your acquaintances is poorly, you might put them in your gratitude book just to send some love to them, because you're upping that love quotient around you. You're pushing something out. You have nothing to gain from supporting that energy for them. So between the sending gratitude, the sending love, and then when I'm working on my gratitudes, I'll also just ask my intuition, what is the message today? What do I need to know today? And I won't necessarily write something down straight away, but I might wander off and a song will come on the radio and it'll have one line in it. And it's just like, yeah, okay, that's what I need to know today. Thank you very much indeed. You know, but yeah, gratitude for everything. You can go for a walk, and even if you can't think of something to be grateful for, if with every step you take, you say in your mind or under your breath or out loud, if you're me, thank you.
Mm. It's a huge part. I literally talk about it in chapter 6 in my book, Manifest Your Way to Abundance. It is, this is all my experience, so you're talking my language, but we've only got like 8 minutes left. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was your work with estate agents and house hunting, because house hunting is a really interesting thing to do for your clients. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So there are people who want to know about the energy of a property before they buy it. And then there are people who want to know just how could they make it feel better? So quite often I will be asked whether I'll go out on a house hunting day with people, and they'll book in to see a number of properties and I will go with them and I'll just have a look. I'll get a feel of the place, because the more tuned in you are, the more you can feel whether it's got positive energy, negative energy. You can read it. So I'll know if there's going to be a divorce in a house or a divorce is happening. You probably pick up whether somebody has been extremely ill, or has died. Not because there's anything wrong per se with a house that somebody's died in, because if your house is over 50 years old, the odds are that somebody has. Simple as that. But just picking up on the energy, but also, does it have a really, really positive energy? What you and I would call wang chuan wang shui, which means it's good for people and it's good for money. And you can often pick that up as well. Now, what my clients are looking for is something that gives them the optimal energy. And if it's a fabulous house, but it doesn't have the optimal energy, what are they going to need to do to bring it up to scratch, so that when they move in, they're not going to experience the same thing that the previous people had? Now, probably everybody who's listening knows that there's one property near them that there has been one divorce after another. And then somebody got sick there, and then there was another divorce. And a house can literally be sold to a happy couple who are giggling and carrying one another over the threshold with champagne in January. And by the following January, they're talking to lawyers.
Yeah.
That's not about their relationship. That's about the energy of the house. And those houses go on repeat, basically, until you remedy the energy, which is so straightforward to do.
Yeah.
They are going to keep ending relationships, making people ill. High net worth divorces, you know, you'll find the same people marrying, divorcing. There's always money there. That's a house that's good for money, but it's really bad for people. So when I'm going out with my clients, it's effectively, I'm not an estate agent. I'm a consultant working with them to find them the optimal location to live that ticks all the boxes that they've given me, not just energetically for feng shui, not worrying so much about the interiors therapy because all of somebody's possessions are going out of there, but also how it will work for their family makeup. And I'm working at the moment with a really lovely couple who've got two young children. They need to factor in an au pair. They've got quite a long list of things that they want, some of which are contradictory. No. So when I walk around a property with them, I'll say, well, you know, you've told me that this is what you're looking for, but actually, I don't think you really mean that. And then we'll work through it. I also work with some estate agents for their VIP clients. So people who are going viewing very, very expensive houses, and they want to see things from a different perspective. They don't just want, you know, you to open the door, let them in, let them make their own decisions. I'll be the one who's saying to them, yeah, actually, if you make a change here, if you move this door there, if you open up this space, this is going to feel very, very different. It's going to be what you're looking for. This is the approximate price it's going to cost you. But these are the things to consider. It's going to change the energy. This will be the energy it will turn into, you know, and for the estate agency that I do this with, and there's also a lot of honesty. I will point out it's got damp. There's a funny smell in here. Let's see if we can identify it. You know, we've got very bad maintenance. I'll say this place is leaking money.
Yeah.
Well, and so my clients know what they're getting.
I think that's really important. So just a quick one. If listeners could change one thing this week, what would you suggest them? What should have the biggest impact straight away?
Oh, do you know, the biggest impact is always going to be about the place where energy is flowing in primarily. And for most people, that's their front door.
Yes.
So let's take a really good look at it. Give it a good wash and brush up, not just inside. Get rid of all the clutter inside. You know, we're in June now. You do not need your winter coats hanging behind the door. If you're in a place where a door gets dirty, and you know, I live in an apartment and my door gets dust on it, so go and give the door a clean. Get those black marks off it and all that grim, grimy stuff that, you know, sits in the edges. Hoover up the dust at the bottom. Make it feel loved. Now, if your front door is not your primary door, if you have got everybody coming in through the kitchen door or even a back door, do it there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So where can people find you, Suzanne?
So the easiest place to get me is via my website, www.interiorstherapy.com. And there you can find a link to book a little mini walk around with me, 30 minutes one-to-one with me, helping you upgrade the energy in your home. And I will have you doing stuff on that call.
Amazing.
That costs £9. And also on my website in the store, you can find loads of lovely free stuff to download, which will kickstart your interiors therapy world.
Amazing. That's amazing. Suzanne, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been fascinating for me, even as a feng shui person, hearing how our homes can influence so many areas of our lives and how simple changes can make such profound difference. Thank you.
An absolute joy. Thank you, Janine.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Feng Shui Your Way. I can't wait to share more insights and inspirations with you in the next episode. Remember, life is all about creating harmony, and welcoming positive energy into your world. Until next time, stay balanced and keep your energy flowing.